like to do that. I'm only going to read 11 verses, so that won't be long. The book of Revelation, chapter 22. As you know, that's the last chapter in the Bible. Listen as I begin to read with verse 7. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. And I, John, saw these things and heard them. And when I had heard and when I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. Then saith he unto me, See thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book, worship God. And he saith unto me, Seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. And he which is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. And behold, I come quickly. Now notice this. And my reward is with me to give every man according to his works, according as his works shall be. I'm Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do the commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. For without a dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters, and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie, I, Jesus, now I want you to notice this, I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, and the bright and morning star. And the Spirit said unto me, and the Spirit and the bride say, Come. And the Spirit and the bride say, Come. And let him that heareth say, Come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, whosoever will, whosoever will, let him come. Whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. You may notice when I'm reading the Bible, I have memorized so many verses in the Bible that are similar that I have a tendency, if I don't look back at the text, to continue with what I'm saying and tie it to a different verse that says it in a different way. So I hope you understand that. I don't mean to make mistakes with the Bible. It's just the fact that this book is part of me, and I'm part of it. And I want to read that last verse again. And the Spirit and the bride say, Come. And let him that heareth say, Come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Father, help me preach tonight. I got a burden to encourage this group of people. I got a burden that everybody will leave here so excited about being a Christian, so excited about the future, so excited about having the Word of God written upon the stones of their heart, that they will rejoice in it and live in it and walk in it. In Jesus' name, you may be seated. You may be seated. I want to preach tonight. And I really do like this subject. I want to preach tonight on the last words of Jesus Christ. The last spoken words of Jesus Christ. I want you to listen to that now. That's very important for you to hear. The last words of Jesus Christ. Now, I don't mean Jesus hasn't spoken by the Holy Spirit. It don't mean that he hasn't sent his message in the hearts of many people by the Spirit of God working in them. But the last written words of Jesus Christ is this very book, chapter I read to you and preach from tonight. These are indeed the last words of Jesus Christ. And twice in the reading that I have done tonight, we have mentioned people who live in this book, who live by these commandments, who love this wonderful truth that he is finalizing with these words tonight. Understand that. This is the last words spoken, written by Jesus Christ to the church world. This book is the last of the Bible. It finalizes the Bible. It completes the Bible. It puts the Bible in perfect order. And it's thrilling. I say to people all the time, have you read the book of Revelation? 90% of the time, they will say to me, I don't understand it. It's too complicated. Or something that they've heard somebody say about the book of Revelation. And here's what I usually say to them, what is the name of this book? And they will say to me, the Revelation. I say to them, what does the word revelation mean? Well, it means something that's been revealed, something that's been unraveled, something that's been manifest. Well, I said, why would you call this book the revelation of Jesus Christ if you are saying you can't read it, and you can't understand it, and you can't figure it out, and you don't know what it's saying, and you've been told it's too complicated? Boy, did I hear that yesterday. One lady said, I've read 3 different books about Revelation, and I really steal something to the words. I still don't understand it. And I thought, yes. All 3 of those revelations was probably different, and all of them had a different interpretation. And this is what I said to her. I said, dear lady, I gave her a copy of my book, The Masterpiece. And I said, dear lady, you just remember, when men try to interpret the Bible, they always make a mess of it. The Bible interprets itself. And if you'll read the book of Revelation and let everything you read interpret itself from some other place in the Holy Bible, the book of Revelation will come alive to you and you will understand it. You will not understand it if you have all kinds of interpretations by all kinds of people. Let me tell you, the greatest interpreter in the world is the Holy Ghost. You put a saint of God on their knees with the Bible open in front of them, and I'm telling you, there's nothing in this book that you will not ultimately understand. It may take a while, and the book of Revelation cannot just be read like a story in a magazine. It's got to be seen as a revelation from God, and only the God who gave the revelation can give the translation and the interpretation. And he will do it, and he will do it when you pay the price. When you pay the price in time and devotion to the book will come alive. When you pay the price for the time and the reading experience and digging into the book and allowing every word to become real to you, I promise you, the book of Revelation will come alive and it will change your life. It will change your life. Now, I want you to hear several things tonight that are very important. This is indeed the last written words of Jesus Christ. You know something? That really makes them special. Do you understand that? Hallelujah. If you got a letter from a person in your family, they wrote you a note and sent you a letter, and the next day you got the letter, and then you heard they had gone to be with Jesus, that they had died. You would prize that letter. I've got the last letter that my loving mother wrote me or wrote anybody. I got the last letter that my grandpa wrote me before he died. I got the last article that my papa wrote before he died. And you would prize it. Well, this is it. This is it. And this was after he was crucified. And after he... I'm sorry. Sorry. After he was resurrected. And after he ascended to heaven, and after he was given a name above all names, this is a revelation of the words of Jesus that he gave to an angel to give to us. Isn't that beautiful? an angel brought this and gave it to us. And it is beautiful. Now, this book is the completion of the Bible. And as you read it and study it, you understand that every doctrine in the Bible is revealed in the book of Revelation. Every doctrine in the Bible is revealed in the book of Revelation. When I go to prophecy conferences, I have something that I usually like to do. I like to say, now, during the question and answer time tonight, I want you to ask any question about any doctrine in the whole Bible and ask me if I can tell you the place that doctrine is manifest in the book of Revelation. And I've done that and never failed. The Holy Ghost will give me exactly the place to go and say, well, let me read this to you and see if you don't agree this is the answer. And yes, that's the answer. Because every truth of the Bible, Jesus shed blood, is right here in the book of Revelation. The resurrection of the Son of God is right here in the book of Revelation. The commandments of God are right here talked about in the book of Revelation. The sovereignty of the Holy Scripture is right here talked about in the book of Revelation. The glory of the blessed Lord who will soon come is right here talked about in the book of Revelation. So you got everything from the saving blood to the blessed hope. Everything from the saving blood to the blessed hope is in the book of Revelation. And so you ought to read it with a relish. You ought to read it with a joy, because everything God's got to say will find its completion when you read the book of Revelation. In fact, I'm going to ask you tonight. In fact, I'm asking you right now to read the book of Revelation this week. To read it slowly and very carefully. And before you start, pray very sincerely. Father, I don't even want Brother Chambers to be the final word to my understanding of Revelation. I want you to translate and interpret and give me understanding of this blessed book. And don't you take some imagination that gets in your head. You look for something in the Bible that gives you the interpretation. Let the Bible interpret the Bible. Could anybody repeat that with me? Let the Bible interpret the Bible. Let the Bible interpret the Bible. Hallelujah. I promise you it will do it. Do you know what Isaiah said? He said this Holy Scripture and this way of God is so plain that even a wayfaring man, though a fool, shall not err therein. What a statement for a Holy Ghost of God to speak through an old prophet, that every word here is understandable for a wayfaring man, a foolish man, to understand. When you get hungry for God, friend, this Bible comes alive. If you're not hungry, it won't. If you can take it or leave it, it'll never get real to you. If you can take it some days and other days you'd rather read a novel or some mess from somebody, then it'll never get real to you. But when you fall in love with it, and when you desire it, delight in it. Hallelujah. I like the first psalm because it says they that delight in the laws of the Lord day and night shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf shall not perish, shall not wither. Hallelujah. I want to tell you something, church. This Bible is a blessed book, and this book of Revelation is wonderful. Every doctrine in the Bible is seen. It is a chronological picture of the end times. People preach all kinds of things about the coming of the Lord. They preach all kinds of doctrines. You got the pre-trib, the mid-trib, the pre-wrath, the post-trib. You got the post-millennial, you got the amillennial, and you got the no-millennial, and you got all kinds of things out there. And what they do is they take a passage over in the book of Zechariah, or they take a passage in the book of Matthew, or they take a passage in the book of 1 Peter. They could take a passage from somewhere, some particular place, and they interpret the end time with it. And they don't take it over to the book of Revelation and put it in the chronological picture. Chronological means step by step, event by event, orderly, orderly, orderly. And so in the book of Revelation, you got an orderly picture of the end. And I'm telling you, you listen to me. It is with all my heart that I believe that the book of Revelation will become the most important book in the Bible if Jesus tarries a few more years. the book of Revelation will become one of the most important books in the Bible. I am preparing myself. I am getting me ready. In fact, I felt like the Holy Ghost said to me this week that I must get in the book of Revelation and read it again over and over and over so that I can be fully prepared under any circumstance with a moment's notice to talk about the book of Revelation anywhere on the face of the earth, under any circumstance, in any situation, be it on a film, be it in a TV program. I must know the book of Revelation almost verbatim, maybe even verbatim, so that we can be able in this closing hour to give people the hope that the book of Revelation offers us. Could I tell you, the book of Revelation, above everything in the world, is a book of hope. Would you say that with me? A book of hope. A book of hope. It's not going to end like Obama has got it planned. And it's not going to end like the Islamic crowd has got it planned. It's not going to end like the Catholic crowd's got it planned. It's not going to end like the charismatic crowd's got it planned. It's not going to end like nobody out there's got it planned if they didn't plan it with this holy book. Hallelujah. This is it. Raise your Bible up and say with me, this is it. This is the picture of the end. This is the picture of the final hour. It's written in the book. If the book didn't say it, only a fool will mess with it. It's the word of the Lord. It's the truth of God. Woo! Somebody help me tonight. Hallelujah. I love this holy word. It is the chronological, the event by event, the moment by moment picture of this glorious end time that we're facing. What a day it's going to be. Now, no study of the scripture is complete if you don't study the book of Revelation. You just count yourself incomplete tonight if you've never studied the book of Revelation. Incomplete. You don't have an excuse at this church. You've got my book written on the masterpiece that verse by verse goes through the whole book. We've got 24 videos. They're now DVDs, studying the whole book of Revelation, every verse, verse by verse, 24 hours of it. We got another new catalog, a notebook, really, Sister Judy does, and we're sending them everywhere. She can't even keep them hardly printed fast enough. Can you, Sister Judy, to send this notebook on the visions in the book of Revelation? That is one special book to me, the visions in the book of Revelation. I have counted some 40 or 50 visions that John saw. See, the unique thing about the book of Revelation is not a bunch of words that John tells us. It's a bunch of visions that John shows us. Now think about that. Visions that John shows us. And somebody says, I don't believe the book of Revelation is really real. It's just a mysterious book. It's just a kind of parable. You don't take it literal. I'm sorry, friend. When God shows you a vision, he means for you to take it literal. When God shows you a vision, he means for you to take it literal. So the book of Revelation is a marvelous book. Now, let me show you what to do this week. When you read the book of Revelation, remember, not in chapters 2 or 3 are visions. Chapters 2 and 3 is seven letters to the seven aspects of the church world, the whole church world. That's chapter 2 and 3. Chapters 1 and chapters 4 through 22 is one vision after another. And you start looking at those visions. Paint a picture of them in front of you. What it would be marvelous. I would love to see this church become so strong that we could have a good team of people that would plan to be actors and would start acting out certain visions in the book of Revelation. It would take a lot of backdrop and a lot of cost, but boy, what a picture that would be. I've been praying that maybe History Channel would take on the project of making the book of Revelation fit the visions that I've written about in that notebook that we've got available. You see, when you really understand this book is full of visions, what God's trying to do, rather than talk to us about what he wants us to understand, he wanted to show us what he wanted us to understand. And so you got visions that are described in dramatic fashion that are just absolutely breathtaking. Oh, somebody help me shout, would you? This is God's book, the last book that Jesus gave us. It finishes the whole of the Bible. It makes the Bible complete and perfect. And we have it, and we can enjoy it, and we can study it, and we can read it, and it can become part of our life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So study the visions. Let me just take a couple. Keep your finger on and keep Revelation 22 open and go back to Revelation 4. Let me give you one of the visions to show you what I'm trying to tell you tonight and show you. The book of Revelation chapter 4. Revelation chapter 4, and I read it, and I want you to notice how it's written. After this I looked. Notice the word looked. You don't look at words. You read them or listen to them. But he said, I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come hither, and I will show thee. Notice that word show. You know what that word means, don't you? It means he's going to give you a picture of it. I'm going to show it to you. I'm going to show it to you. Sometimes I'll say, let me show you our internet program. That means I'm going to go in there and cut it on, then look at it. And so the Lord here says to him through this messenger, this voice which he heard, come hither, come up hither, and I will show thee things which shall be or must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone. There was a rainbow round about the throne in sight like unto an emerald. And round about the throne were 24 seats. And upon the seats I saw. Are you getting the picture? This is dramatic. This is drama. This is God laying in front of this John the Revelator a vision of the throne of God in heaven. He cannot see God himself, so there's a likeness of great, marvelous, expensive stones and beauty, and it all beams in the face of John, and he's seeing it. He's seeing it. Then he doesn't just see God on his throne. He sees 24 elders, and they were seated, by the way. And upon the seats, I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. I'll read no further there, but you can tell that's a vision. John is seeing a vision. He's not just hearing it described, although it is indeed described. It is also seen, a vision. And this book is full of those visions. Go to chapter 5. I'll show you another. And this one is indeed breathtaking. And I saw. Notice the word saw. I saw. That word is in the book of Revelation. I think it was 40 or 50 sometimes. I counted them and wrote it in a previous Bible. And I've got a new Bible, and I didn't transfer over all of my notes. And so I don't remember the exact count. But it says, I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within, and on the backside sealed with 7 seals. He saw the book. He could even count the seals. He could tell you it was written both on the front and the back. Is that a vision? Of course it's a vision. It's beautiful. And I saw a strong angel. I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? No man in heaven, nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much, said John, because no man was found worthy to open, to read the book, and to look thereon. One of the elders saith unto me, weep not. One of the elders said to me, the elder's standing there. He's seeing it. He's seeing it. The elder said to him, weep not. Behold, the lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, hath prevailed to open the book, to loose the 7 seals thereof. And I beheld. That word beheld again is something you see, something you're looking upon, something in front of you. Isn't that beautiful? Would somebody say hallelujah? Now you see what the book of Revelation is, don't you? You see it's something really spectacular. That's not another book in the Bible that followed that pattern. There's not another book in all the 65 books that was given like vision. There were some visions along at intervals and places, but just a book of visions. This is a book of visions. Hallelujah. What a picture indeed. Well, I won't read on there because I don't mean to bore you with words, but I want you to understand this book of visions is breathtaking. If you've ever read a book that will set your soul on fire, you read this with an open heart and an open spirit and mind with the Holy Ghost anointed, and before you get through, you're going to be so excited. Hallelujah. It is indeed a breathtaking book, a book full of visions, a book full of visions. Now, I got to take you to verse 12 because I like this one. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me. Jesus said, I'm coming quickly. How about these people don't believe in a rapture? How about these people don't believe he's about to come? And when he comes, he's bringing his rewards with him. You see, you can't make out of that nothing but a rapture. You can't make that out of that nothing but a moment that just transforms this whole universe. And the saints of God are moved into a new sphere, and they move into the place of the judgment seat of Christ, and his rewards are with him, and he will give them their reward even before the tribulation grips this earth. The saints of God will be shouting in heaven with their rewards already laid out in front of them. I believe when the tribulation period starts, I will have gone to heaven. I will be judged by the Lord Jesus Christ. I will be told what my reward is. I will be told the exact facts about my life and how I've labored for him and loved him. And he will take me over to the city of New Jerusalem. And I'm hoping to be in the 12th level of that city. That's called the Amethyst level. And I'm hoping to have my mansion. They'll take me up there and say, here yours is. Hallelujah. And I will enter in and start enjoying that wonderful place that I'm going to spend eternity in my mansion in the city of New Jerusalem. Hallelujah. Just sit there and look at me now, if you please. How many of you plan to have a mansion in that city? Let me see your hand. Raise it way up high. Come on. You plan to have a mansion in that city? Get your hand up if you plan to have a mansion in that city. You said, I'm not even saved yet. Well, you can get saved tonight. Hallelujah. And get ready for that mansion. This is the reward of the saints of God, the bride of Christ. Hallelujah. My reward is with me. Now, let me give you something. Don't miss this one. You are not saved by your works. He said, my reward is with you, with me, to give according to your works. Works. W-O-R-K. Didn't have an S on it really in the scripture. Your work. W-O-R-K. Can you spell that? W-O-R-K. You will get rewarded for your works. Now, you're not saved by your works. You're saved by grace. You're saved by the blood of Jesus and the grace of God. You didn't earn being saved. You didn't do anything good to be saved. You just came and surrendered to Christ. He can't save you until you give him your life. He can't save you until you turn everything you are over to him. As long as you're the boss and you're running your life and you're going to do what you please, you cannot be saved. That's not possible. It is when you surrender to him that he saves you. You give him your life. But that's all you do is give him your life. It's not how good you are. It's not how bad you are. It's not how ugly you are. It's not how handsome you are. It's not how intelligent you are. It's not how dumb you are. It's altogether by grace. You come to him. You surrender your life. He saves you by grace. You become a believer. And then you have the joy of going to work for him. And as you labor and work for him, you're building a reward for eternity. If you sit on a stool and do nothing and live a good, clean, godly, holy life, and you keep the commandments and do what's right, you'll go to heaven, but you won't have a reward in this city if you don't earn it. What do I got to do? Go to work for Jesus. Very simple. Witness everywhere you go. Read your Bible regular. Pray with all devotion for the lost and unsaved world. Be faithful in your church. pay your tithes, give to God what belongs to Him, give offerings out of what's left over when you get through tithing. I'll tell you right now, you won't even get rewarded for your tithes. That's already His. If you want to get rewarded, that's the offering you give above the tithes. Oh, Brother Chambers, you're trying to get my money. Isn't so. I'm not trying to do no such a thing. I'm trying to get you rewarded. I want you to have a full reward when you stand before the Lord. I want you to have a full reward. And when Jesus comes, He comes with His rewards with Him. He comes with His rewards with Him. That's what this book is all about. I mean, this is the last chapter. This is the last writings of the Lord. And He's saying, I'm getting ready to come and bring you your rewards. I can think of it being a more apropos time than this last passage, this last chapter, telling us that His rewards are going to be with Him. What a day that's going to be. What a day. What a day. Blessed are they that do His commandments. Blessed are they that do His commandments, for they shall have a right to the tree of life. Yes, part of your works is to do His commandments. They don't save you to do His commandments. That's because you are saved, and because you're living for Him, and because you fell in love with Him, because His Bible has become real to you. I keep my Sabbath day holy. You're not going to find me at Walmart on the Lord's Day. You're not going to find me hurrying out of here to go to a restaurant when church is over on Sunday morning, because I believe in the Ten Commandments. And number 4 says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. How about raising your hand if you believe in the 4th commandment? Would you mind raising your hand? You believe in the 4th commandment, you can't believe nothing else is in the Bible. Hallelujah. So keep the Sabbath day holy. Keep the Sabbath day holy. Don't let it be a day of buying and selling and mowing the yard and washing the clothes and mending the socks and all the kinds of things that a mother can do and a father can do. It's a day to worship and love Him and praise Him and serve Him and rest before Him. Hallelujah. You got an hour in the afternoon that's nothing to do. Go somewhere and go to sleep. That's what I like. Hallelujah. I call it Sabbath rest. Anybody like a little Sabbath rest? Boy, I sure do. Hallelujah. That's what the day is all about. That's what the day is all about. So, you've got such a picture there. Now, let me give you a couple more things before I try to conclude it tonight. I want you to go, if you would, to verse 16. This is a breathtaking verse. I never saw this until today. Oh, now, come on, Brother Chambers. You've been studying Revelation for 50 years. And you never saw this till today. Exactly. That's what I'm telling you. You don't ever get through reading this Bible. You don't ever learn everything and get so acquainted with this Bible you can't learn something. Listen to verse 16. I, Jesus. I like that. I, Jesus. Not somebody else talking for Him now. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. Yeah, this isn't for the people out there that don't have a church. Don't want a church. These people that, you know, they want to flock wherever they want to flock to on Sunday. They don't have no devotion to the church. The church is a burden around their neck, and they want rid of it. They don't want it. Well, He said this is for the church, so take your pick. You want to be part of God's crowd, then you're going to be part of God's church. You hear me? You're going to be part of God's crowd, you're going to be part of God's church. Are you listening to me? You don't act like you're listening to me. If you want to be part of God's crowd, you got to be part of the church. You understand that? Well, notice now. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and morning star. In one verse, He declares His connection to the human family, the Son of Man, born of the root of David. Are you seeing that? And in the same verse, He moves from the human, the God-man, to the divine, the Son of God. I am the root and offspring of David, but I also am the bright and morning star. Hallelujah. Do you see? Do you see the human and the divine blended together in this verse of Scripture? I've never seen that before, Marlon Clark. I've never seen that before. But there is the God-man. The God-man. I, Jesus, the root of David. The God-man who walked among you 33 years. Who gave myself to die on a cross. Who come up out of that grave, glorified and resurrected and ascended. Hallelujah. I'm the Son of Man. I'm the man who walked among you. I'm the man who gave a sacrifice of death for you. I'm the man who shed his blood to take your place. Hallelujah. But I'm not only the Son of Man who shed his blood to take your place. I'm the bright morning star. Hallelujah. I'm Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last, which is, which was, what is, which is to come. Hallelujah. And so you have the picture of the Eternal One, both in his revelation in flesh and his revelation as divine. Everybody that sees that now, raise your hand. I want to make sure you see that, because that paints a picture, folks. That paints a picture, folks. That's breathtaking to me. Now in closing, we'll go to the to verse 18 and verse 19. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. Now you take that preacher who thinks he's so smart he can add his own interpretation to the Bible. You take that person who can argue their arguments of certain scriptures and certain doctrines, and they have to pull this out of the air and pull that out of the air and pull this out of somebody's quote and pull that out of somebody's quote, and they're going to quote and quote and quote and quote and quote and mix up and mess up what God has said plain and simple. He said, keep your hands off my Bible. Keep your mouth out of my scripture. My word is written plain and simple. Leave it like it is. Take it like it is. I said what I meant. I meant what I said. And that's the word of God. Somebody say praise the Lord. So you don't add to the Bible. You don't add nothing to the Bible. You don't try to add your imagination. Nothing hurts the Bible like preachers and people's imagination. They imagine this, and well, I just think that means that. No, what you think it, the Bible has no double interpretation. There is no single interpretation to the Bible, and the Bible says that very plain. There is no special translation given to nobody. God gives me nothing about this Bible. He hasn't already given to many other people, and he will give to many more. I don't have anything unique. I don't have anything that's kind of Joe Chambers. I may have some opinions about certain things, but they're not things that change the Bible, and I don't preach them as the Bible. You know, I just believe the Bible is complete, and so I don't add nothing to it. Now, you don't stop there. Let's go to the next verse. Verse 19. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part. Wait a minute. If any man, see, I first spoke about adding to. Now I'm talking about taking away. You don't add to it, and you don't take a word away from it. If any man shall take away from the prophecy of this book. Now notice when he says the prophecy of this book, he isn't just talking about the book of Revelation. He's talking about 66 books, the whole Bible. You can't read Revelation and not know it's the final of a whole book. It's not just a book all by itself. It's not some single thing that God's given us above and beyond and bigger and changes. No, no, no. It's just part of the whole Bible. It just finalizes the Bible. It completes the Bible. If you look at it any other way, then you're gonna say, well, that only means the book of Revelation. No, it means the whole Bible. If any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life. The book of life is where your name is recorded as a believer. This is where the saved are written. And if you take away from the Bible, he'll take your name out of that book of life. Somebody says, I believe you are unconditionally eternal secured. Well, you don't believe the Bible then. You're unconditionally eternal secured if you obey the Bible. Nobody can take it away from you. All you got to do is obey the Bible. All you got to do is keep His word. All you got to do is obey Him. But you don't have no right. You don't have no right to do what you please. No, sir. And you don't take away. And if you take away, He'll take your part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. He which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. Are you listening to me tonight? Surely I come quickly. You must understand the book of Revelation is one more great and final book. It completes the revelations of God. It's the last words of the Son of God. Now I want you to remember the things I preached tonight. I want you to remember very carefully that this book is the completion of the Bible. I want you to remember that. I want you to study it with that understanding. I want you to understand it's the chronological picture of the end time events. Step by step, event by event. Just like it's in this book is how it will occur. Nothing has happened yet that takes us past chapter 3. We are living tonight in chapter 3 of the book of Revelation. When that rapture takes place, we will immediately, the worldwide scene and all of God's work and kingdom will move to chapter 4, and there will be a great catching away of the saints of God, and they'll be caught up to God, and they'll be around the throne, and you'll see them sitting around that throne on those benches, remember? Hallelujah. All you got to do is read chapters 4 and 5, and you see a multitude in heaven that are the redeemed, and they even say, Thou hast redeemed us. They even say that in these two chapters, 4 and 5. Oh, what a picture. What a picture. Then remember, you study the visions, and then remember you're going to be rewarded by your works. Then you remember that the Son of God and the Son of Man is seen right here in this great chapter. Somebody says, are you sure Jesus was born of a virgin and actually lived among us? Well, go to verse 16 and said the root and offspring of David. That meant he came of the lineage of King David. Remember, Mary was from the lineage of King David. And even his stepfather was from the lineage of King David. Oh, it's beautiful to study this holy book. Hallelujah. But then the Son of God, divine, eternal. Bow your heads. Father, I love you tonight. Great God, I love you. I love your book. I love this holy scripture. I love the book of Revelation. I love the whole Bible. I love this final chapter. This final chapter where Jesus could say, I, Jesus. Hallelujah. Not someone posing as Jesus. Not an angel speaking for Jesus. Not the Holy Ghost talking for the Father and the Son. But here Jesus himself steps into the arena and speaks up and says, I, Jesus. Hallelujah. Would you stand? I want you just to stand in worship. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Oh, Father, you thrill me tonight with these truths of the Bible. I want this congregation to go home so encouraged and so thrilled and so excited that they've got a reward awaiting them. Father, because they're devoted, because they are laborers for the Lord. They're busy for the kingdom of the church. They're ready, looking for something to do around the house of God. Show me what I can do, Pastor. Show me where I can come and help out, Pastor. Show me what I can do. Father, let them be saying that. Let us start working on that reward that we shall soon enter into forever. Can you imagine everybody is going to receive a reward according to their work? Say that. I shall be rewarded according to my work. Saved by grace. Saved by grace. You can't earn salvation. The blood of Jesus alone has paid the price for you to be born again. There is no other way. There's no two ways. I've never heard a preacher in the whole 62 years of being a Pentecostal Christian I've never heard a preacher in our midst, in our ranks, say that a man could be saved by his works. We get accused of that, but I've never heard it one time. Never heard it. I've heard us accused of it, but I've never heard nobody guilty of it. Because if they got guilty of that around me, I would be quick to say, you're wrong, friend. If they come in this pulpit and start preaching it, I would interrupt the sermon. I would interrupt the sermon. You're saved by grace through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Isn't that beautiful? Always remember that scripture. Saved by grace through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God. Hallelujah. Now I want you to tell God you thank Him for the gift of salvation. Father, thank You for the gift of salvation. Thank You for the gift of salvation. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now I want us to meet together. Meet together. Hallelujah. Don't worry about that PA system, Brother Bate. If you want to just come down here with us, let's come together. Let's meet together. Come on, visit us and just be a part of this. Just make like you're part of us. We love it that way. We love it that way, folks. You walk right on down here if you would, and you stand right here with us. We'll treat you like part of God's family. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Pastor, it's so good to have you right down here with me, brother. Hallelujah. I hope I preach just like you believe it. Hallelujah. Pretty close anyway. Hallelujah. Isn't God good to us?